All right, all right, all right. Another edition of Talkin' Dodgers. We got season two. We got a new, we got some new graphics. We got some new hosts. We got all kinds of new things coming at you for this season. We're going to be talking about the world champion Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media and sponsored by Command Recording Studios. Hey, looking to jump into the podcast world, start making your own content? Command Recording Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit CommandRecordingStudios.com. Kyle, you did one episode with us last season. We're going to bring you on for full time. Mike's still going to be coming in ever so often, pinch hitting. We've got Max here. New vibe, new season. How are you guys doing? Talk to me. Go, Kyle. You.
I'm doing great. I'm excited for this season. I'm excited. I'm ready for tomorrow.
Good. Max, I know this isn't your number one team. You're a New York guy. You're sporting the Jets right now on the, watching us visually on YouTube.
It's a little chilly out.
But we love having the perspective of the East Coast, even though it's mostly not good. But
what do you mean it's mostly not good?
I don't know. We're trying to warm up. It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, baseball's here again. It's going to be a nice long season. It's good to have Kyle, and, you know, you didn't kind of give people a little more background on him. I mean, I know maybe you did the one time, but that was a long time ago, right? That was back in December, I believe.
That was last episode. Tell him to go back and listen to that one.
But Kyle's a big-time Dodger fan, very knowledgeable.
He's a big-time L.A. guy. He loves the Dodgers, loves the Lakers, loves the Kings.
Born and raised.
So he's going to add great element to the podcast.
He's diehard through and through. And he also went to spring training.
There you go.
So 2 years in a row. Congratulations. I'm pretty jealous. All right, let's jump in. We got a lot of content. We're kind of shifting things around from last season, trying to make it a little bit more entertaining. Not going to stick too long on certain subjects unless we're really feeling the vibe. But we're just going to just jump right in. So, hey, we got projections of the Dodgers' new lineup, who's going to be starting the season. I know that two games have already passed in Japan. That was a week ago. We're not going to go crazy on recapping that at all. Look, the Dodgers right now, they're projected. They're on pace to win 162 games right now because they won the first two. That's all we really got to talk about. Otani hit a home run, barely went over the fence. Pitching looked good. Defense looked good. That's pretty much all we care about. We're going into this season, you know, with some new faces. We're going to touch on those a little bit. Who's to watch for? Who we think is going to be the breakout stars, who we're glad they got, who we're going to miss, who they didn't have, yada, yada, yada. So, right now, projected lineup is Otani, DH, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, Will Smith, Kike Hernandez, Max Muncy, Tommy Edmonds, and Andy Paez. It's interesting because I really felt that all the positions were basically set in stone. You knew who your catcher was going to be, first base, shortstop, with Mookie moving over there, putting full-time into that. Luckily, glad he's feeling better. Hopefully he's going to gain that 15 pounds back pretty soon. Max Muncy, the two positions I thought were going to be kind of questionable going into the season, who was going to play what, was really center field and second base. Because you had Tommy Edman, Gold Glove second baseman, which played a lot of center field for them, and then you picked up, then you re-signed Kike, but then you also got, what's his name from the Giants? What's his name?
Conforto.
And Fordo, he was going to play left. So it was really just like second and center. Like, who was going to be your, like, where was Tommy Edmonds going to play? And then who was going to fill in that void? And so right now the answer is Tommy Edmonds is going to play second base and Andy Paez is going to play center field. So it's kind of a weird way to round all that up. I'm still getting my feet under me.
Well, Tommy Edmonds is a Gold Glove at second base. So.
Yeah.
If I felt up to me, that's what I'd do.
Yeah. I like Andy Paez. I just feel like his defense is questionable in center field. But
he can. Option is Edmund.
Yeah, he didn't make the squad though.
Who's so better center? Who's a better center fielder, but not as good at in offense? So yeah,
yeah, which sucks because I really liked Outman his first year, his sophomore year, just never found it. I was hoping he's going to get another chance this season. He still might.
Yeah, he still could.
He still could. It's obviously
even though his Outman's OPS during spring training was like 800.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it though. But it, yeah,
I know.
That's just weird because it's weird that he fell off so bad a sophomore year. I know there's the sophomore slump that people talk about all the time. And I feel like if he was with any other team that wasn't as good as the Dodgers, he would have been able to play through that slump and kind of figure it out last season. But you have so many guys knocking on the door and the Dodgers gave him as much time as they possibly could, but hopefully he gets another shot.
He didn't go anywhere. He just went triple A.
He's triple A. Hopefully he can bounce back up at some point. So now let's talk about the starting rotation. So the Dodgers made two big pickups in the pitching. They picked up Snell and Sasaki. So right now the five-man rotation is Snell 1, Yamamoto 2, Glasnow 3, Sasaki 4, and May 5. And so we talked about all last season about them going six-man rotation. And Kyle, I know you talked about how they come out and said that they don't need to do six-man right now because of the way the schedule is, because they have so many breaks and stuff, which I still feel like if you still threw on that six-man, having an extra day on top of that would still kind of be beneficial. What do you think?
Yeah, so that's what I read, that that's what they're going to do is the five-man because of the way that the schedule works out. I don't know. I'm sure they've got it mapped out till at least when so and so will come off of the IL. I don't see how that's a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm just curious, like, what would they have done if Gonsolin didn't get hurt? Do you think that they still would have done five-man rotation, or do you think they would have gone six-man or done the piggyback thing, which we keep hearing that they're going to try doing a lot more, which they did in Japan, which is, you know, maybe May starts, goes four innings, then Gonsolin comes in and does another four innings or something like that, or vice versa, just kind of like spread it out a little bit. Because you have so much talent pitching-wise that you got Gonsolin sitting there, is going to come back hopefully soon. You got Shohei, who's going to come back at some point. And then you also got Kershaw, who's sitting there, is going to come back at some point. I mean, it's a good problem to have as far as, you know, if everybody's healthy at the same time, which the Dodgers' track record, or most Major League Baseball teams, the track record is not that good as far as having all of your stud pitchers healthy at the same time. But if it does happen, and you've got eight quality starting pitchers, like, that's a lot of piggybacking, or you got to trade somebody, but it's a good, I guess it's a good issue to have, right, Max? The Yankees have that problem. Well,
everybody in Major League Baseball has that problem. I think I saw a ridiculous stat last year where most teams had up to 12 different pitchers starting throughout the season. There's no more of though that you need five guys who are going to pitch, you know, 200 plus innings throughout the season. Now the game in pitching is really depth, you know, because everybody's blowing out their arms, everybody's getting hurt, and then you still have the occasional guy who has a hangnail or they tripped on their dog over the weekend and they can't make a start. So you need a lot of depth in pitching nowadays. So and most guys are still pitching what, 5-6 innings tops, and you still need that depth. So everybody needs a lot of starting pitching.
Right. I feel like even getting six innings is kind of rare sometimes with these guys.
Nowadays. Yeah, now sure. I think people are pushing. If a pitcher gives you four really good innings, that's a quality start now, you know?
Well, that's
crazy.
That stuff kind of brings me back to, because the way pitchers throw right now, I mean, it's so hard. In the 90s, even early 2000s, it was amazing when you saw a pitcher hit high 90s and even hit 100. Yeah. And now it just seems like every team's got like at least two or three guys who can throw 100 miles an hour.
Plus,
they hit the top 90s. And then, you know, 3 years later, they have Tommy John surgery. So that brings me back to my whole thing about the six-man rotation. So, like, I understand the Dodgers came out and they're like, hey, the way the schedule shaped up is, at least in the beginning, where we can stick with a 5-man rotation and still give everybody
ample rest.
But it's like, if you're going to have them go out there and throw that hard, why not even an extra day on top of that? Throwing an extra guy, you have the arms to do it. I mean, we didn't even talk about any of the rookies that are sitting in the going back down to AAA as well, or, you know, sophomore, whatever you want to say. There's options there to give these big studs like Snell and Yamamoto and Glass now, especially since, and we talked about it all last season, this starting rotation is not built to be a workhorse. None of these guys are workhorses as far as they're going to give you, you know, 160 or what would be a good inning count right now?
It doesn't matter anymore. They don't want that.
I know they don't want that, but why? But giving them an extra day's rest, I feel like would be really beneficial for a lot of these guys, especially the Japanese guys coming over who are really only accustomed to pitching once a week. With Ohtani back, you're gonna have three of those guys in the lineup that are like really accustomed to that. And then you've got Glass now, which his name speaks for himself. And then you've got May, who I love May. I think May has like some of the best stuff I've ever seen as far as the movement on his fastball. But the way he throws, he's going to break down in like, you know, I give him a month and then all of a sudden he's going to be on the IL again. That's kind of the way his track record's been. It sucks, but that's kind of the way it is. So why not give him an extra day rest? I know I stick on one subject a little too long when it comes to the pitching. It pisses me off, but whatever. Okay. Kyle, do you want to add to that? Do you want to move on to the bullpen? I can see your face. Well, it's kind of like you want to come and say something.
That, in a way, you are kind of talking about the bullpen, right? You're just talking about the strength of that or lack thereof. But now what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, the strength of the bullpen, I mean – look, let's start talking about bullpen right now, because that's one of the other things the Dodgers had. They had last season was a really good bullpen, and they just added more depth to that bullpen. They went out and got the best reliever available, which was
Tanner Scott,
and you added him with obviously your big three that you already had from last season, which
Kirby
is
Yates.
Got Kirby Yates as well. It's like the Dodgers, they got like five closers on there that could be closers on any other team. That's their bullpen right now. And then you still have the crazy other lefties and stuff like that. And you got the guys that are hurt that could be coming back. It's just their depth. What they did this offseason, which pissed off a lot of people, which made a lot of Dodger fans happy, is that they didn't relax after they won their championship and go like, oh, let's just run it back. No, let's run it back, but then let's add to it. Like, with the exception of losing Walker Buehler, which we're big fans of Walker Buehler on this show, and I think that, you know, the people that listen to this show, all five of you, you realize that how much we loved Walker Buehler, and we were telling everybody to kind of like calm down about him, the injury he's coming back for. He's going to find his stride, and he found it exactly when we needed him to in the playoffs. It just sucks that he's not a Dodger anymore. I understand where he's coming from and where the Dodgers are coming from, but they replaced him with the best starting pitcher available, which was Snell, and then they went out and got Sasaki. So they didn't stop there. They go out and they get Tanner Scott. They didn't stop there with pitching. They went out and they've got Conforto, and they went out and they re-signed Kike. They re-signed Teoscar. They signed Tommy Edmonds to a long-term contract. I mean, the Dodgers are like, we're not resting. We want to run it back. We want to run it, you know, we want to win two in a row. If not, we want to win at least five in the next like 10 years or something. So pretty awesome. But the bullpen, go all the way, circle back to bullpen. Amazing. So yeah, I think this is a good time to take a break. Hey, if you haven't clicked that like or subscribe button yet, then I don't know what you're waiting for. If you want to get notifications when we post new content, please click the like and subscribe. Help us spread like a virus. I understand this episode's a little shaky. Don't worry. It's been a while since we've done an episode. We get a lot better as we get going. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to support us, go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/rotyourbrainmedia. Is that right, Max?
Sounds about right.
Hey, help support us. Help us create content. Every dollar you send our way helps us keep the lights on, helps us keep a studio, so we can keep, you know, talking about the Dodgers and all other kinds of stuff. All right. I think it's time for Max's segment.
Yeah, we're going to do a new segment. I kind of ripped it off from another show that, you know, I partake in back east. It was called, this segment's going to be called Hit and Run. So basically, guys, I'm going to give you guys a couple of topics, quick hitters here. You guys don't know what they are because I want your natural responses right off the top of your heads. Nothing over the top, doesn't take much input. It's a lot of mainly opinion-based. So the first topic, we're going to go right through these. Last year, we talked about the Bakota standings. Basically, they do giant simulations and gives everybody their win totals, and they're pretty accurate most of the time. Any guess on what they projected the Dodgers to win this year?
104.
Did you see it already?
Who did this?
No, was that it?
It's done by Baseball Prospectus. It is 104.3, the highest in all of Major League Baseball. Hello? 10 more wins than the second place team. Any guess on who that would be?
Second place team?
Mm-hmm. With the highest projected win totals.
It's got to be the Yankees.
No.
Not the Yankees?
Not even close.
Not even close. Does that not mean close. When you say not even close, that means not even in the American League?
Not in the American League. Not geographically close. No. Kyle, any ideas?
We might a lot. He's
technical difficulties.
Kyle's having technical difficulties.
Well, the second place team would be the Atlanta Braves.
I was gonna
at 93.9 wins. So my question to you guys. Do you guys care if the Dodgers break Seattle Mariners 116 mark or the one I consider the most important one, the 114 by the 98 Yankees, because the Mariners didn't win the World Series after winning 116 games. They didn't even make it to the World Series. The Yankees won 114 and actually won the World Series. Do you guys care if the Dodgers get to 115 or 117 and win the World Series?
Kyle? You still having issues? Kyle's still having audio issues. All right. That sucks.
Blown up. My segment is getting destroyed here.
I don't care.
You don't care about the wins.
I don't care about the wins. As long as they can get in the playoffs. Like, I'm not one of those. I know we talked about it a little bit last season. Do we care about the National League West Championship? Like, winning the... Do we care about the winning the West all the time? I care to a point. But I don't. It really all matters is just make the playoffs and make the run and win the World Series. It's a great thing to say. Like, hey, I remember that season. I remember them doing that, winning that many games. It definitely makes the season more fun when you're watching them pretty much every single game, like we do. That means they're winning baseball games, so that's good. I don't care as much, but at the same time, if they were in the middle, if they could break it, I would probably, if they were getting close to it, I'd probably be more inclined to go, yes, that's awesome. But as right now, I don't care.
No. Okay. Well, sticking with the divisions, I was going to hold this off till later, but I might as well bring this up now. So, you know, there is talks of expansion, right? Adding two more teams to bring it up to 32.
Yeah.
They're talking about doing that within the next 4 years, right? Any favoritism in terms of the prospective cities? We're talking about Nashville, Portland, Salt Lake City, Montreal coming back. Any care?
Oh, Montreal. I would love Montreal to come back just because I want them to be the Expos. I want to bring back the Expos logo.
Okay.
I would want that. And then what were the other ones? Not Salt Lake. I don't care about Salt Lake.
Nashville, Portland. Because we're assuming Vegas is going to be the Athletics.
It is. I think that's, isn't that sealed?
No.
It's not sealed.
That is still up in the air.
How is that not a sealed deal?
It is still up in the air, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So you don't care. Now, to keep going on to this point, with the 32 teams, we're talking about realignment. The projected division would be the Dodgers, the Angels, the Giants, and the Padres. Any objections? No longer will have Arizona and Colorado to beat up on.
I mean,
the Angels go over to the National League. Huh.
Well, you know, there's no more American National. Everybody has DHs now, so.
Yeah, I think they were talking.
Swapping out Colorado for the Angels. You said you don't have anyone to beat up on.
There you go.
Aren't they just talking about just doing East and West? Kind of like.
They would rename the divisions and all kinds of stuff.
I mean, that bums me out a little bit because there's so much history as far as like who's been in people's divisions. But at the same time, like, I guess kick out the two youngest. If you're going to kick out the two youngest, which would be Arizona and Colorado.
Colorado. Okay.
If that's where you're going to go. And then the Angels have always kind of had, they're also like another, how do I say this? Big brother, little brother kind of thing. Like they've always been the shadow of the Dodgers. Like the Padres have, but it's almost like Lakers and Clippers. Clippers have always been the shadow of the Lakers. So it would be interesting to put them in that same division and so they can kind of beat up on each other. I don't know. I've always been a purist with baseball. I didn't even like it when they were talking about bringing the DH to the National League because I felt the National League, like you had to actually be a manager. You had to actually there's a lot more strategy in the National League than there was in the American League because you could just set your lineup and kind of sit down and that's it. You don't have to worry about anything else. So I was against it, you know, and until you got Shohei Ohtani, and then you're like, yeah, this is the greatest thing ever. Yeah, keep it. Because it is more exciting to, like, not have a pitcher hit. So I don't know. Like, I'm not in favor of it, but probably when it happens, I'd probably jump on board.
Okay. How about now, one step further, expansion into international teams? Because now with, you know, they're playing games in Korea, Mexico, and in Europe again
Canada,
this year.
Australia.
Canada, Australia. Would you guys be opposed to teams in Cuba, in Europe, in Korea?
No, just as long, I mean, it's like if you have a good travel plan.
Yeah, I mean.
I guess.
Yeah, they're making plans and travel faster.
You know, are you going to give a team a week off after they come back from Europe?
that's a good question. You know, working out those logistics.
That's exactly what happened these past two seasons going back from Korea and Tokyo. You get a week off.
Well, they also played games in Europe this year. And I don't like, I mean, I know the, there was maybe four teams that played in Europe. I don't think they got an extended time off when they got back. I got to look back into that, but I know Philly played out there. The Yankees, I think the Mets.
How'd they fare?
Yeah. I got to look back into that. I don't remember them getting a huge break. In between,
like after they came back.
Yeah, after they came back. I don't remember that being a thing. So now with international, you know, there was a big hubbub about, you know, Sasaki signing with the Dodgers. And, you know, right now it's a great pipeline for Japanese players coming to the Dodgers. Are you guys opposed to an international draft? Because right now they only have an amateur draft and there's, you know, there's a pool to sign, you know, Latin American players and then, you know, there's a posting with the Japanese and Korean players. Would you be opposed to a more complete international draft?
No, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
For compatible balance?
Yeah, I would not be opposed to that. There's already so much international talent coming over here from all sides, like, you know, from everywhere. I think it would make it like, so you're talking about just break it down per region or are you talking about all international in one thing?
In one thing, no more of, you know, going to DR and signing a 16-year-old kid for $2 million. No more, you know.
We're promising a 16-year-old kid for $2 million and not signing him and getting Roki Sasaki.
Exactly. Yes. You know, so putting all those international players in a pool and having them be drafted based on obviously an order and, you know, just like they do the amateur draft.
Once again, you're talking from, you know, a team that benefited for the way it is right now.
Exactly.
It's kind of hard to sit there and go, yeah, it should be the other way.
Exactly. That's why I brought it up because a lot of owners, we're going to get to that, are bringing that up. I mean, I might as well bring it in. You know, now that you know, the Dodgers spent all this money and built a phenomenal team, there are some owners who are now calling them the new evil empire. If you remember, the Boston Red Sox called the Yankees and the evil empire, you know, about 10 years ago. And now they're calling the Dodgers the new evil empire, and the Colorado Rockies owner has been complaining that the big spending teams like the Dodgers are ruining baseball, and I quote, and he has called for a salary cap in response to LA's offseason spree. Now, the collective bargaining agreement is coming up, and there is huge talk that baseball might be shut down for a year or two to resolve these, because it's not the players versus the owners. It's the owners versus the owners versus the players. Do you guys want a salary cap to sum it all up?
I mean, I don't think, no, I don't want a salary cap. For you know, because obviously we're the Dodgers, I don't want a salary cap. But then here, I'll ask you another question. I'll answer that with a question of mine, mm-hmm. just so I can get quite understanding of what actually happens in this league. So when a team, say like the Dodgers, goes over the luxury cap, right? And then all that money that they have to pay that's accumulated because they're taxed on it or whatever the case is. I'm not exactly, mm-hmm. you could probably break it down better than I can.
The Cohen tax.
So when all that money that they're paying extra on top of, so like, for example, like when they they're so far over, they spent $80 million on a player, they're actually paying like what, $160 million on a player? Something yeah. Like it's crazy. Where's that money going?
It's getting split up amongst the other owners.
It's getting split up amongst the other owners, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So take, for instance, the owner who owns the A's, who yep. basically bolted and he's Sacramento. In Sacramento, chilling in like a 15, you know, 15-person stadium.
Yeah.
How much money was that guy getting from around the league, from the Yankees and the Dodgers and Boston and all these other teams that are like over the luxury cap? I guarantee you that guy was making more money than what he was spending on his players than his team.
100%, but they don't open their books to let people know.
They don't
know.
Open their books to it. So I feel like the people that whine about all these things, like the Colorado Rocky owner and then even the A's, these teams choose to put, like, it's, I understand the Dodgers can spend more money than they can spend, but they also choose not to spend money when they have money. They choose to play things a lot safer and not bet on their team, where the Dodgers owners, they bet on their team. They knew what Shohei was going to bring them as far as internationally, and they threw everything they could at him. And there are teams that could have went higher that chose not to. I mean, even the Angels, they balked and said, I'm not going to go that high. The Yankees could have done it. They decided they didn't want to go that high. Like, but the Dodgers knew, like, hey, we will bet the farm on this guy because we know that he's going to bring us money and then some, and that's what he's doing. And I'm not saying that the Rockies could have done that, but the Rockies can go out there and make better decisions with their money. Do we even need to talk about their last big acquisition that they spent like what, $170 million? I got to look it up. I know that number is probably wrong. But didn't they get Chris Bryant?
Yep.
Who's like, sorry, man, but he's not a franchise player anymore. And everybody knew that, but they threw all their money at that guy. And he's played 5 games last year and hasn't been that great. Like, you're complaining about something that you don't even seem like you even know what to do with a baseball team. So
with a cap comes a floor. So that's the other side of the argument, is with a cap comes a floor, which would force some of these teams. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, so if there, no one's going to agree to a cap without a floor. Do you know how much money the Miami Marlins spent in the last 2 off seasons combined? $5 million.
You see?
Yeah.
$5 million, the last 2 off seasons combined.
You can't cry poor. You chose that.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have a cap without a floor. Good luck.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, moving. I got only two more things so we can move through this segment.
Okay.
During spring training, players were able to try out the player challenging balls and strikes with the little pat on their heads. Did you guys like that? Did you guys see Jazz Chisholm? He there was a pitch outside and he didn't even wait for the,
yep,
he just patted his head and yep. walked right to first base. He was so confident it was going to be called a ball, and it was. But did you guys like that, or would you want that implemented in regular season?
I'm gonna let you go first, Kyle.
I did like it. I saw it live in person.
There you go.
It was quick. It was great. It's accurate. I like how they get only however many challenges it is, two challenges. Yeah. And then if those are successful, I don't know if it's, you keep getting them. But I like it to that it's limited and there can be strategy behind using them. It still keeps in the human element to a degree. Well, at least for the vast majority of the game, right? So I think it's good. I like it.
Robbie, real quick.
I mean, I like it. I feel like it just needs to just go full though. I'm done with having the umpire be a factor. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're like, leading right into my next thing.
I'm done with it being a factor. Like, we have the technology now for, like, every single time a ball is either a ball or a strike, you have a computer that can basically tell you and just, you know, have the umpire still there for the aesthetic purposes. Have him sitting back there, and he's the one who can make the call. But I do feel like there should be, like, a radio, some kind of call in his ear that just tells it, ball, and he just does ball, strike, strike. Just take them out of it because I want to see the best players play their best games and not have the umpires go in and mess that up. I've seen too, like, there's so many times I'll watch Will Smith, and I'm going to bring up Will Smith because I think Will Smith is a very terrible framer. And I also think he doesn't, how do I say this? He doesn't try to get his pitcher's strikes every pitch. Like, he doesn't. It's weird to describe, but I feel like he phones in his catches sometimes because he feels like they're just not going to be called strikes, even though you watch them go on like the little square and they are strikes. Like, whether how accurate it is or not, I have no idea. But I take the framing out of the entire thing. Stop trying to fool the umpire, because then when the umpire gets fooled, he looks absolutely stupid when a catcher sits there and they get a ball and they pull it back in really quick in the middle. Like, Barnes does it all the time. A ball is outside, pulls it right in the middle of his chest, and then the umpire calls it a strike, and it wasn't a strike. It's like, okay, it gets a little ridiculous. I'm at that point now where I'm just like, look, I want to see the pitchers pitch a good game. I want to see a batter have a good eye and have those things go back and forth with each other, and stop having an umpire who's terrible go in there and kind of screw things up. Like, I'm just done with that. I would rather just bring in the computers. I'm totally fine with that. Love it.
Well, MLB teams won 52.2% of spring ABS challenges. So that brings me to the robot umps thing that you were talking about. It's going to be delayed, but it's not dead. The full automated ball strikes ABS system won't hit the major leagues this year, but it is still, let's say, looming, right? Is the league stalling because it's not ready, or do you really think they're worried about the soul of the game and the human element? Do you guys want, we already heard Robbie's take. He wants to put R2, you know, in the, you know, calling balls and strikes. Yep. What about you, Kyle?
Kyle might be having an ear thing still. Like, I think his connection's kind of jacked up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's not hearing it right now.
Well,
Kyle, we're going to fix that before our next episode, because we got to figure out what's going on with the internet connection.
To play devil's advocate real quick, because this is supposed to be hit and run, supposed to be quick, I think you still need some human element in these sports. We don't want to turn them into, you know, even the video game for error on balls and strikes because of the human element side of it. Like, I'm not completely opposed to challenging balls and strike in a critical time if it's controlled, but I still want an umpire back there, who, even if they're a butcher. And that's it for hit and run. The first time, it'll be better and smoother, but hopefully people like this segment, and you know, our other host won't be blacked out as Kyle has left us.
Yeah, we lost Kyle. We got to figure out what's going on with the internet connection, because that can't keep happening moving forward, but we'll figure it out. And I don't have a ticker set up for just two people, so we're going to stick with this and hopefully he can rejoin.
Yeah.
Nope, he said upload complete. Ugh.
Yeah, you'll fix those stuff.
Rejoin studio. Let's
While you do that, one of the segments that will come after Hit and Run is going to be the mailbag. Basically, we are 30... listeners, you got a comment, you got a question, there's a ton of ways to reach us. YouTube, our social media. Send us a note. Send us a question, and we'll read it on air. Is that that's the vision for the mailbag, right?
I think that's the vision for the mailbag.
So at the bottom of the podcast, we'll put all the ways to reach out to us. Email, Robbie's personal text, phone number, all that
good
stuff.
Please, yes, do that. That sounds amazing. I want that to happen.
You going to preview the next series?
Yeah, we should preview the next series. Sorry, I'm trying to troubleshoot.
Which is
as
the
well.
First series for me. I'm not a big fan of the, you know, starting the league a week before in Japan, Korea, wherever.
I would like, so Kyle and I talked about this, and maybe we talked about it with you a little bit as well. I would be a fan of that if it wasn't just two teams doing it. I feel like you have enough fan base throughout the world that you can kind of set up like little stations, not stations, but like, so you got eight teams that go to Mexico. You got eight teams that maybe go to Canada. Canada doesn't count. Like eight teams that go to Japan, go to Korea again. Like, I feel like you could have an opening season in, you know, internationally.
I strongly disagree.
For like a week.
No.
And then you take another week off and you start the season. Everyone's fair. It'd be so much better.
Do it like the best league in the four major sports does, which is the NFL. They do it during the season. Major League Baseball was once called America's pastime, correct? And traditionally, the first pitch is in Cincinnati. They do the parade. The Reds open up the season. Opening day is a big ceremonial thing in the United States. Why are you taking that away from any fan base? Have opening day in the U.S. It brings them back to the ballpark, hot dogs, summer's coming, you know, kids, the pomp and circumstance, all that good stuff. And then at some point, probably before the All-Star break, you go and do your international tour. You can have games for 2 weeks in all these wonderful places you say, you know, in Cuba, in DR, in Korea, in South Korea, in Japan, in everywhere that you baseball will get embraced. Do it, but do it during the regular season.
I like it. All right, we got Kyle back. I'm trying to now fix the audio really quick for Kyle. So, Kyle, bear with me 1 second while... We lost Kyle.
We lost him again.
Oh, man. This is not going good, the first episode, let me tell you.
Well, while you do that, I'll do another commercial pretty much for, you know, one of the other things we're going to be adding to this season is a fantasy league between the three of us. It's going to be a small three-man weave. We're going to pick weekly three Dodger players between the three of us, so nine total players, and we're going to do a rotisserie-style fantasy league. We're going to each select a starter, a relief pitcher, and one batter. And whoever wins. It'll be a cumulative thing. We'll have a punishment for the loser. Hopefully, our listeners can give us some great suggestions for whoever loses, what their punishment will be at the end of the regular season. And the winner will get maybe a nice trophy. So we're going to have a little fantasy element. We'll check in from time to time in the episodes on progress, and it'll be some good competition, and we'll see how sucky we are at predicting performances per week. So every week there'll be a new draft, quick draft. They'll be on Sundays where we'll pick, you know, one, like I said, one pitcher, one starter, one reliever, one batter. It'll be a serpentine draft. So those who play fantasy will understand that. And first week we'll do names out of a hat. After that, it'll be worst to first in terms of draft order. Are you excited about that? We'll kick around some names probably in the next episode to see. I mean, I got a ton of names of what the league will be called. And then the goal, hopefully, is, you know, we'll expand it in the future to listeners as well, and they can participate in this nice, fun little league we're going to do that's Dodger-centric.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Kyle, what'd you think of all that?
Oh, he's back?
Max just broke down the
quick rundown.
Yeah, the quick rundown of the draft stuff and everything.
We'll discuss it more on draft day on the scoring, but it's going to be basic scoring, you know, home runs, RBIs, strikeouts, things like that.
All right, Kyle, I'm going to put up my speed test thing right now. So every single time you're saying that you've got issues with your connection, we're just going to do it on the stream anyways because, you know. Hey, I will tell you right now, listener, if you've stuck with us this long all the way to this part of this podcast or of this recording, oh, I got to record Kyle's new thing. I forgot to click record. That's perfect. Then you are a true Talkin' Dodgers fan. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it. This is a good time to click that like and subscribe button.
Yeah.
Don't forget to check out that Patreon page because, you know, you just love what you're listening to.
Any worries from you guys, what would derail a back-to-back title this year?
Really, for me...
Well...
Go ahead, Kyle. What do you think?
Other than injuries?
I mean, that's...
They got
that didn't obviously derail anything last year.
Exactly. So, they won without their starting rotation.
They had literally the most days on the injured list of any team.
Yeah. I think they're injury proof.
The only thing I think that would derail them from repeating is them not getting. Oh, what's going on here? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Now he's in power.
Means it's 11, that
this
means
is
it's
all you, man.
Jeez.
Maybe a hot Atlanta Braves starting rotation you worried about?
Well, yeah, it would be them not being hot and running into a hot team in a short divisional series.
Yeah.
I think the team right now, the Arizona Diamondbacks frighten me the most out of anybody.
They just lost Montgomery to Tommy John.
All right, never mind. We're back in, baby. No, I mean, look at how good they were towards the end of last year. And they started off slow, and they picked up Burns.
And they're young.
They had the number one offense in the league. Like,
they're dangerous.
If they come out hot in the beginning of the season, I'm not saying they're going to dethrone the Dodgers, but I am saying, like, they're going to make the playoffs. And whether the Dodgers still win the West, like, I don't care about the Dodgers winning the National League West. I don't care. As long as they get to the World Series and they win the World Series, that's all I really care about. But I could see a team like Arizona being hot through the entire year and pushing the Dodgers around a little bit and maybe getting in there like a game or two above the Dodgers. I mean, the Giants did it, and they didn't have anybody. I mean, the Arizona's built way better than the Giants were when the Giants won, what was it, 106 games, 104 games? I can't remember the number. Anyways, yeah. I do think injuries are what I think is going to stop the Dodgers, though. Bottom line.
On that thought, if I can just real quickly go back to what you were saying earlier, Max, is that I don't care how many games the Dodgers win. I don't care about the 114 or the 116 or any of that. I do care about them winning the division. Because I think home field advantage is a real thing. So I want them to have that. That's all I care about. Don't care about how many games.
Not
they
breaking
win.
Any records.
I do want them to win the division, and then obviously the NLCS.
We lost you. Can you rewind that?
You're still there.
I don't care how many games. I don't care how many games they win, as long as they win the division.
There you go.
I don't care about the 114. I don't care about the 116. I do want them to win the division. I do think home field advantage is a real thing. And so, I want them to win the division. And running into a wrong team in a short series could derail them.
Yeah,
I think that's the only thing that can derail them.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
And we saw that happen live with Padres.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Number one in the bag. You guys going to enjoy the game tomorrow? You guys going?
No.
You got to jump on a plane.
I wish. I'll be working. but I'll be listening.
Have you guys ever gone to opening day anywhere?
No.
No, I don't think I have.
I don't think I have.
Neither have I.
I have not. Oh, well, shit.
Next year, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Talking Dodgers, opening day. It's going to happen. All right, so yeah. The third game of opening day season, I can't even, like, whatever. Like, it's tomorrow, opening day for everybody. Dodgers
it's
third game.
It's
still opening day. Dodgers playing Detroit. Predictions as far as what we think is going to happen in the series? Dodgers sweep, 2 out of 3.
Snell versus Scooble.
That's going to be a great matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Scooble is phenomenal.
It's the only...
He's phenomenal.
It's the only opening day game that will feature two Cy Young winners facing off.
Yeah. He is the real deal. He almost single-handedly got them to the ALCS last year. Yeah, he was...
Yeah.
He shut down the Astros, and he's really good. He almost had the Guardians.
All right, it's like a Scooble.
It's going to be a pitcher's duel, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And then it's not even announced who's starting for Detroit on Friday or Saturday, but you've got...
I know. I mean, they have to start Flaherty in one of those two games.
Oh, that's right. Oh, Flaherty's
that's
at the...
Right.
That's right.
I forgot.
Detroit could be sneaky good this year. They have a really amazing pitching rotation, young arms, power arms, and they got depth there, and they added some good bats. And they're young, and they could be dangerous.
Well, like you said, they gave Cleveland a run for their money.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so then you've got Snell, Scooble, game one. Probably Flaherty, Yamamoto, game two. If not, it'll be Flaherty, Sasaki. Mm-hmm. Game three. I would actually know what I would like to
see. Sasaki will pitch game two.
No, really? Game three. Game three, Sasaki. Yeah.
Reese Olson probably will be the third guy there. I mean, he's really good too.
I don't know. I would kind of like to see Flaherty versus Sasaki because, in a way, it's like Sasaki's is Flaherty's replacement, in my opinion. Like either Snell or Sasaki. It would be nice to see.
Not Glasnow.
Glasnow's not Flaherty's replacement. Glasnow was already on the team.
No, he's saying as a starter.
No. Not Glasnow starting instead of Sasaki.
On the Dodgers website, they've got Sasaki going game three on Saturday.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And if the Dodgers have it, you know, besides, Glasnow is going to have Tommy John surgery by the end of April.
Don't you dare say that.
I know.
You probably said it last year, and so it's your fault.
I actually did. No. When he was out, the first time he was out, I was like, there's something seriously wrong. I don't think he's going to come back healthy. And he came back, and then he went out again.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought that it was worse than what everybody said because he didn't pitch in the playoffs at all, and he was shut down completely. I honestly thought they were going to announce at the end of the season that he was having Tommy John. I honestly did. And the fact that he came back and pitched in spring training and proved me wrong just goes to show that he's going to have Tommy John surgery at the end of April.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
It is inevitable.
Look at Garrett Cole. Last year, he had the same kind of thing. Took the 6 months off, pitched the second half, and then spring training, guess what happens? It's time.
Shut down.
That surgery is calling all pitchers.
Especially
you can't avoid it.
Pitchers that big, that throw that hard with that type of movement,
yeah,
they are asking for it.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it. That's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers. I feel like we've went through enough growing pains, suffering, internet connections, stuttering, you know, just talking around circles, you know, but hey, thank you. If you made it this far, all the way down to this episode, if you listened this long, you are an amazing human being. You need to send us a message and we will mention you in our next episode. We may even send you a gift card to Applebee's. I have no idea.
Applebee's?
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think I've ever been to an Applebee's. No, I went to an Applebee's once, and then it closed. All right,
things
but that's going to do it for this
episode.
Things get weird after 11 at an Applebee's. That's going to do it for this episode of Talking Dodgers. Thank you for listening. Please click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus. Please go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/RogerBrainMedia. All of your help helps us contribute, or all of your contributions help us create new content. We do have a lot of episodes coming out this season. We have new shows that we are working on. with involving bringing back the extremists for all of you guys that are really asking for it. We're going to do season two of The Last of Us. It's going to be an amazing time, and I hope you guys are there with us the entire, every step of the way. Kyle, thank you so much for struggling with your internet connection or my internet connection. I'm going to be making some changes on my end. Hopefully that is going to help your end. Hey, we're going to figure out what's happening, but I will say this, though. They are putting in new lines for Spectrum out front of the studio right now. We have AT&T, but maybe we might switch to Spectrum. It could be that kind of an issue. Maybe I just got to hardwire the computer. Who knows? But thank you so much for listening. We will catch you guys next time. Have a nice day or night, depending on when you're listening to it.
See ya. That's the Yankee.